Shortly before dawn, the slaves were awakened and marched to the Grail Rock. Again they were given a modicum of food. After eating, they were split up into groups and marched off to their differing assignments. Burton and Frigate were taken to the northern border. They were put to work with 1,000 other slaves, and they toiled naked all day in the sun. Their only rest was when they took their grails to the rock at noon and were fed. Goering meant to build a wall between the mountain and the river. He also intended to erect a second wall, which would run for the full 10-mile length of the lakeshore, and a third wall at the southern end. Burton and the others had to dig a deep trench, and then pile the dirt taken from the hole into a wall. This was hard work, for they only had stone hoes with which to hack at the ground. Since the roots of the grass formed a thickly tangled complex of very tough material, they could be cut only with repeated blows. The dirt and roots were scraped up on wooden shovels and tossed onto large bamboo sleds. These were dragged by teams onto the top of the wall where the dirt was shoveled off to make the wall even higher and thicker. At night, the slaves were herded back into the stockade. Here, most of them fell asleep almost at once, but Targoff, the red-headed Israeli, squatted by Burton. "The grapevine gives a little juice now and then," he said. "I heard about the fight you and your crew made. I also heard about your refusal to join Goering and his swine." "What do you hear about my infamous book?" Burton said. Targoff smiled and said, "I never heard of it until Ruach brought it to my attention. Your actions speak for themselves. Besides, Ruach is very sensitive about such things. Not that you can really blame him after what he went through, but I do not think that you would behave as you did if you were what he said you are. I think you're a good man, the type we need, so..." Days and nights of hard work and short rations followed. Burton learned through the grapevine about the women. Wilfrida and Fatima were in Campbell's apartment. Logu was with Tullius. Alice had been kept by Goering for a week, then had been turned over to a lieutenant, a Manfred von Kreischaft. Rumor was that Goering had complained of her coldness and had wanted to give her to his bodyguards to do with as they pleased, but von Kreischaft had asked for her. Burton was in agony. He couldn't endure the mental images of her with Goering and von Kreischaft. He had to stop these beasts, or at least die trying. Late that night he crawled from the big hut he occupied with 25 men into Targoff's hut and woke him up. "You said you knew that I must be on your side," he whispered. "When are you going to take me into your confidence? I might as well warn you now that if you don't do so at once, I intend to foment a break among my own group and anybody else who will join us." "Ruach has told me more about you," Targoff said. "I didn't understand really what he was talking about. Could a Jew trust anyone who wrote such a book? Or could such a man be trusted not to turn on them after the common enemy has been defeated?" Burton opened his mouth to speak angrily, then closed it. For a moment he was silent. When he spoke, he did so calmly. "In the first place, my actions on earth speak louder than any of my printed words. I was the friend and protector of many Jews. I had many Jewish friends." "That last statement is always a preface to an attack on the Jews," Targoff said. "Perhaps. However, even if what Ruach claims were true, the Richard Burton you see before you in this valley is not the Burton who lived on earth. I think every man has been changed somewhat by his experience here. If he hasn't, he is incapable of change. He would be better off dead." "During the 476 days that I have lived on this river, I have learned much. I am not incapable of changing my mind. I listened to Ruach and Frigate. I argued frequently and passionately with them, and though I did not want to admit it at the time, I thought much about what they said." "Jew hate is something bred into the child," Targoff said. "It becomes part of the nerve. No act of will can get rid of it unless it is not very deeply embedded, or the will is extraordinarily strong. The bell rings, and Pavlov's dog salivates. Mention the word Jew and the nervous system storms the citadel of the mind of the Gentile, just as the word Arab storms mine. But I have a realistic basis for hating all Arabs." "I have pled enough," Burton said. "You will either accept me or reject me. In either case, you know what I will do." "I accept," Targoff said. "If you can change your mind, I can change mine. I've worked with you, eaten bread with you, I like to think I'm a good judge of character. Tell me, if you were planning this, what would you do?